The views and opinions expressed on America's Workforce Union podcast and its digital media channels are solely those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent the views and opinions of the producers or sponsors.
Welcome to the America's Workforce Radio podcast, the flagship production of the American Workers Radio and Podcast Network, where organized labor and its never-ending fight to protect the rights of the American worker come first. Now, presented by LIUNA, Laborers International Union of North America, here's your host, Ed Flash Ferens.
A major union reaches an agreement to establish safeguards on artificial intelligence. The Dirty Dozen Unsafe Employers announced today, and the Killed at Work database. On the show today, the Government Affairs Director of the AFL-CIO and Insulators Local 50 in Central Ohio. Welcome to the Thursday, April 25th edition of America's Workforce, where we're available on at least five platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. Mr. Bill Samuel will be our first guest on the show today, and for many, many years, well over 20, he has served as Government Affairs Director of the AFL-CIO, AFLCIO.org, and I'm sad to report this will be his last appearance as Government Affairs Director. We'll try to get him in another capacity down the road. I got to do some convincing there, but if you've been listening to Bill for the last couple of months, he's been so frustrated, like many people, with the lack of progress in Congress. In fact, this has been designated as probably the least productive Congress since the Great Depression. Well, something happened here in the last couple of weeks. Mike Johnson, the speaker that replaced Kevin McCarthy, after a series of negotiations with the White House, finally said, okay, we're going to send some aid to Ukraine and Israel. We're going to move forward, and much to the chagrin of the far right. Bill's going to talk about that. We're going to find out what actually happened. That's one thing. Meanwhile, President Biden has been on a roll here for workers. The Labor Department announced this week a new rule that would guarantee that salaried workers who make less than $59,000 a year are compensated fairly for overtime work. Now, mind you, the Trump administration set the salary threshold for those who did not have overtime protections at just over $35,000. Well, as of July 1, the threshold will go to $43,888, and then January 1 of 2025, it goes to $58,656. Senator Patty Murray out of Washington, the former chair of the Senate Committee on Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions, she says this change will affect about 4 million workers. And I'll tell you, this is going to help a lot of people because many companies designated people as managers so they don't have to pay overtime. Also, Federal Trade Commission voted this week along party lines to ban the non-compete agreements that prevent workers from minimum wage earners to top executives from changing jobs with the industry which they work in. Now, the government estimates that this could add about $300 billion a year to workers' wages. Also, we had the announcement about 2 weeks ago from the Department of Labor that its Mine Safety and Health Administration has issued a final rule to better protect the nation's miners from health hazards associated with the exposure of silica dust, or known as quartz dust. And this is going to help a whole lot of miners. Now, Bill, before he came to the AFL-CIO, he worked with the late Rich Trumka. Rich was the president of the Miners Union, and Bill worked with him tooth and nail for many, many years. And he's got a pretty good grasp of what's been going on in the mining industry. So that and more with Bill Samuel as our first guest. Dan Poteet will be joining us later in the show. Dan is the business manager of Insulators Local 50, based in Columbus, and they have about 200 workers in about, my gosh, around three dozen counties in Central Ohio. Two of those counties are in Indiana. And right now, His local 50, is in the middle of contract negotiations, and they're also trying to get more workers. They have a digital recruitment campaign going on because, as you know, if you've been listening to Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building Trades, there's a whole lot of work going on in Central Ohio with the Intel plant, Amazon, Facebook. It's being called the new Silicon Valley because of all the tech presence there. So Dan will be our second guest right here on the show. Now, a brief look into the world of labor. This segment brought to you by Boyd Watterson Asset Management. You can find more at BoydWatterson.com. The Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of TV and Radio Artists, SAG-AFTRA, has reached a tentative agreement with major record labels, including Sony and Warner Music, to establish artificial intelligence safeguards alongside wage and benefit increases. This is pretty significant. The agreement requires record labels to obtain artists' informed consent and provide compensation for songs that use AI-generated digital replicas of an artist's voice. Only humans qualify as artists or singers under this agreement. This is great. Duncan Crabtree Ireland is the union's national executive director and chief negotiator, and he lauded the consent and compensation requirements, saying SAG-AFTRA and the music industry's largest record labels have reached a groundbreaking agreement, establishing for the first time collective bargaining guardrails, assuring singers and recording artists ethical and responsible treatment in the use of artificial intelligence in the music industry. AI, by the way, was a major flashpoint in SAG-AFTRA's 118-day long strike last summer, which culminated in a movie studio contract containing similar generative AI provisions. We've been saying this with a lot of union leaders. You know, AI, it's scary. It really is. But, you know, it's going to be embraced, let's be honest. But let's work with the unions, with the workers, to make sure that it doesn't replace their jobs. It helps them. And this is a good example right there. This is a big day for National COSH. That's the National Council on Occupational Safety and Health. Later today, they will announce the 2024 Dirty Dozen Unsafe Employers. Now, the Dirty Dozen are examples of employers that put workers and communities at risk due to unsafe practices, which lead to preventable illnesses, injuries, and fatalities. And several of the Dirty Dozen have also engaged in harassment and retaliation against those workers who are standing up and speaking out for safety on the job. I mean, if you're not safe on the job, what good is the job, right? Well, that'll come out later today, and I just want to call attention. We are going to hear from a representative, in fact, the co-executive director of National COSH, on the show tomorrow. In the meantime, I have to share with you the Killed at Work database. I know it sounds pretty eerie, but it's tied to National COSH, Killed at Work, the U.S. Worker Memorial Database. It's a volunteer effort to document and map the annual toll of workers who die on the job. Now, the latest database includes just shy of 4,000 fatalities with names and details where available, going from 2014 to 2022. And I'm just going to read some of them. And they do a post online and they send it out. Obviously, this is Workers' Memorial Week, and Sunday is Workers' Memorial Day. But Nicodem Zaremba is one of them. 1995, he died 2 years ago. Nick was recently engaged and had bought an apartment with his fiance when he was killed at work. He was only 27 when a trench he was working in collapsed while he was repairing a sewer line. 27. Then there's Herschel Perkins. Herschel was born in 1962. He died 2 years ago. He was a pizza delivery driver, killed by gunshot wounds at 60 years of age. He called 911, but reportedly told the operator he would not survive. And when police arrived, he was dead on arrival. Then there's Bardo Bautista, father of four. He was born in 1983. He died last year. Bardo was a tree trimmer for 13 years before he was killed at work. The 39-year-old was trimming a palm tree five stories above the ground when he was fatally injured by falling branches. And then there's Lewis Schuster. Lewis was born in 1977. He died at the age of 46 last year, was a conductor for nearly two decades when a dump truck collided with his train car, fatally injuring him. He was a veteran and a passionate union brother with the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers and Trainmen, and a provider and caregiver for his parents and his 16-year-old son. Sadly, all on Workers' Memorial Week. One more here. Jeep maker Stellantis is planning to lay off an unspecified number of workers at its U.S. factories in the coming months to deal with a rapidly changing global auto market. The statement comes as the company faces increased capital spending to make the transition from gas vehicles to EVs. It also reported declining U.S. sales in the first quarter, and it has higher costs due to the new contract agreement they say reached last year with the UAW. Of course, they're going to blame the workers, right? The company says they're also laying off some white-collar workers, and that'll be happening throughout the year. By the way, the electric vehicles cost about 40% more than those powered by gasoline, and without cost reductions, the company says EVs will just be too expensive for the middle class. All right. Quick break. When we come back, Bill Samuel on behalf of the AFL-CIO.
You're listening to America's Workforce with Ed Flash Ferens.
It takes LIUNA to build North America's infrastructure. From roads and bridges to schools and skyscrapers, the men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, build the projects we depend on. From constructing the Freedom Tower on the site of the former World Trade Center to untangling Washington, D.C.'s congested interstate, LIUNA members do the work that matters. Find out what it takes to be built by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Are you an experienced mechanical insulator looking to take your career to the next level? Insulators Local 50 in Central Ohio has steady work for a number of years. Insulators Local 50 offers a total wage and benefits package that can't be beat. It's not just the competitive wages. Local 50 also provides medical, vision, and dental insurance with no paycheck deductions for you and your family. Don't miss out on the chance to secure your future. Join us at Insulators Local 50. Earn great pay and the best benefits. Visit insulators50.com/AWF50 to fill out the online form, and a Local 50 representative will call to begin the process. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Steelworkers. You can find more at usw.org.
America's Workforce appreciates our sponsor, the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, who represents more than 18,000 workers from 19 affiliated local unions and district councils.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the United Auto Workers. Find more at uaw.org.
This segment of America's Workforce is brought to you by Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS has been providing unions with secure and flexible election options for over 30 years. Visit surveyandballotsystems.com to learn more.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Communication Workers of America. You can find more at cwa-union.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And don't forget, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. By the way, this next segment brought to you in part by the United Labor Agency, ulagency.org. In fact, I'm looking at the calendar. We'll be hearing from Dave Meginhart next Tuesday here on the show. Right now, let's go to Washington, D.C. And this is our last show with Mr. Bill Samuel as Government Affairs Director of the AFL-CIO. So, Bill, what's the story? You're hanging it up here, but you know what? Nobody really hangs it up anymore. You probably go into a different direction. 24 years now at the AFL-CIO? Is that correct?
24 years. Been a good run. I'm going to stay on in, some capacity to help my successor manage the transition and continue to give some advice to my colleagues at the AFL-CIO for the rest of the year.
Well, I'll tell you, you've been an absolute stellar guest here on America's Workforce. There's nothing you shied away from, and it's so great to have you for so many years. I mean, I've been doing this show for, it'll be 26 years. So,
wow.
I mean, almost as long as I've been doing this show, you've been with us here. So I appreciate that. But maybe we'll be touching base down the road, because Tommy Buffenbarger, you know Tommy pretty well.
I do.
He retired from the machinist, and he called me up. He says, "Hey, Flash, can I stay on? I really like doing this." So you really get hooked on doing this.
Well, and, if you'll have me, I'll be happy to come back.
And the show's exploded here. I mean, labor is so popular right now. Unions. I mean, everybody is embracing unions. Not everybody, but I mean, the polling numbers show it. But it's you're seeing great contracts with the UAW. I look at this union victory in Chattanooga over the weekend. I mean, good
right.
things are happening. Good things are
right.
happening,
right.
Including Congress.
Even Congress, which I've been putting down for some time now, but they managed to get a couple.
You and I mean, it was so pessimistic here. It's like government shutdown. Just okay. Let's move the date. Another government shutdown. All of a sudden, what happened here, Bill? I mean, this is a sea change.
Yeah, well, I think it shows the experience and the cleverness of the Biden White House. You know, he seems to be, elderly, and a lot has been said about his apparent stamina. But boy, he worked hard behind the scenes. They were smart. They were prepared to work across the aisle. This is, of course, we're talking about the Ukraine and Israel package, and they got it done, putting together a bipartisan majority, working with the Speaker, who he disagrees with on most things, and Mitch McConnell, who he disagrees with on probably even more. But he knows how to get things done. I mean, this shows the benefits of experience. He's been in politics a long time. He worked in the Senate for, I think, 36 years. He knows how to get things done. It's questionable whether the former president could have pulled this off, and I think we're all happy to see it. I mean, most people, obviously, there's some controversy around the Israel funding and whether there are any kind of strings attached, but this is what the president wanted to get done, and he managed to accomplish it.
Now, I have to ask you, as far as kicking the can down the road with government shutdowns, this was not part of that. We're good, though, until, what is it, the end of September? Is that right?
We are good until the end of the fiscal year. That we will not have another threatened shutdown for the rest of the fiscal year, which ends September 30. Funding levels aren't, what we would want. They're pretty much stable, so we're continuing to fund programs as we did last year and pretty much the year before, which means they don't grow with inflation and where need is increased. Just as an example, the NLRB has had a 35% increase in election petitions, a 20-some percent increase in ULP filings, but they're not getting any additional funds. Their rent has gone up in various locations, so they're going to struggle to continue to do the work that they're assigned, but it's certainly better than a shutdown, so we're pleased with that.
And Julie Sue, who is the acting labor secretary, is going to continue to act, I would assume, for the rest of the year. Is that a safe bet?
Yeah, I think until the end of this presidency, and actually if the president is reelected, she can continue to serve into the next administration, next term. She doesn't have to be renominated. The cabinet continues on. And so, we'd like to see her confirmed, but she's pretty much exercising all the authority that a confirmed secretary would have. And she's done a great job. They've just, in the last couple of weeks, issued two new regulations, which we've been trying to get accomplished since the Obama administration on overtime and retirement security. We can talk about that later, but she's been very active and very effective.
Well, let's do that right now, if you don't mind, because I mentioned that at the top of the show. That's pretty significant, because the previous administration was keeping workers at bay at the threshold for overtime. And there's a lot of people, it's almost like misclassification. I mean, you get a job, maybe at a fast food outlet or something, they say, well, you're going to be assistant manager or you're going to be manager. Well, that takes you out of any OT. So why don't you explain what happened here this week?
No, that's exactly right, and misclassification is the right word. I think employers, in many cases, intentionally misclassify their workers as exempt from the Fair Labor Standards Act, The FLSA, of course, requires time and a half overtime pay for every hour over 40. But if you say this person is a manager, you just call them a manager. They have none of the real powers of a manager. Then you don't pay them for any hour over 40. You can make them work 60 hours. And that's just not fair. And so the Labor Secretary, working with the White House, has now increased the raised the threshold for automatically covering employees under the Fair Labor Standards Act. Eventually, the threshold is going to go to $58,000, meaning if you make less than that, you are automatically covered by the Fair Labor Standards Act, whether you're a salaried employee or an hourly employee, and you will be paid overtime over 40 hours as it should be.
And we're looking at about 4 million workers that could be affected by this. So my next question, is this something that could be turned around? Could they fight this in the courts?
I mean, they will challenge it. The Chamber of Commerce, I'm sure, will challenge it. They did last time when Obama was president, and they succeeded. They found a judge in Texas to overturn the rule when President Obama raised it. I think at that time it was to 47,000. So this is a bigger increase, but they're doing it in a more legally a strong way. They've responded, I think, in pretty significant ways to what the judge in Texas said. So they think they can get around any lawsuits this time, and hopefully this will stay in effect. And if you would peg the last overtime rule, going back to the, I think, in the 70s, to inflation, the number would be about 70,000. So this doesn't even keep up with inflation and salaries, consumer price index. But right now, the threshold would be pegged at 58,000. Below that, you would be automatically entitled to overtime.
Now, the other ruling this week, this one came from the Federal Trade Commission, and they voted along party lines to ban non-compete agreements. I'm very familiar with that because, as you know, these are very, very prevalent in broadcasting. You work at a certain station and maybe you part ways and then you can't, or you leave on your own. You can't work at another station for maybe 6 months to a year. And that just kind of damages you because obviously your popularity is kind of fades during that time. But it's more prevalent than that. I'm reading 30 million people, one in five U.S. workers, have these non-compete agreements. I would imagine you're going to be okay at the AFL-CIO, though. You don't have one of those.
No, they don't insist on it. But, you mentioned how broad these things are. I mean, I think there was a famous case some time ago about somebody working in a sandwich shop who had to sign a non-compete agreement, couldn't work at a competitor, which is obviously crazy. I mean, there's nothing. I don't think there are trade secrets in making a turkey
right.
sandwich. But, employers use these all the time, basically to lock you into your job. Makes it obviously more difficult to negotiate for pay increases if you can't use the threat that I'm going to go to your competitor down the street or in the next city. So, these non-compete agreements are really nefarious. And, there may be some situations when you're dealing with trade secrets, if you're, making something, working for a pharmaceutical company or, some place where actually the information you have could be detrimental to the company you work for. So there may be some very limited situations where a non-compete makes sense, but not in the mainstream. I think this is a really good rule, and it's great that led by the Biden administration and the Federal Trade Commission that they're going to stop this practice.
And I'm reading the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Well, they're not wasting any time. I guess they're planning to sue over this. So
they already
we'll see
sued.
What
That's
happens.
Right. First day.
First day. Oh, really? They didn't waste any time then. Okay.
No, they did.
I don't know if you saw this too on nursing homes. I was reading that about 1.2 million Americans live in federally funded nursing homes, and the problem, and you know this, especially during the pandemic, those nursing homes, most of them, 75% of them are understaffed. And apparently this week, the Biden administration ordered the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services to require the hiring of about 12,000 registered nurses and 77,000 aides, which will cost the government about $7 billion. But we've got a very, very growing senior population and one that, many people are going to end up in nursing homes. So that's another good thing that's been it's funny. You got to love election years because good things usually happen.
That's right. It's election year, so you think that it's sort of politics. But the other reason they're doing them now any regulation that comes out probably after May of this year can be overturned in the next administration using something called the Congressional Review Act. There's a time period where you can undo regulations if you do it quickly enough, and if so that if President Biden was not reelected and promulgated a regulation in July, August of this year, it could easily be overturned in the next administration. If it's formalized and takes effect before mid-May of this year, it becomes much more difficult. So that's why there's this rush to get them done. And, the nursing home reg is a great one. The labor movement's strongly behind that because, obviously, we see what happens in these facilities. So increasing the patient ratios so that you have more nurses per patient and more aides per patient is a good thing for our seniors, and it's also, of course, a good thing for workers. It's unsafe. They're overworked if you don't have enough staffing in these facilities. So that's a really important reg we've been working on for a long time.
That's another reason why I'm going to miss you. See, I didn't know that. I didn't know they had to get this done before May to make it more difficult, just in case we get a change in the White House. Good
That's
stuff
right.
there. Bill Samuel, Government Affairs Director of the AFL-CIO, national website, aflcio.org. We'll continue with him later in the show. I'm going to check in with Dan Poteet. This guy's been really, really busy working for his 200 members at Insulators Local 50, insulators50.com. He's working on contract negotiations for the next collective bargaining agreement. He'll give us a glimpse into that and more later in the show. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.
This is America's Workforce. More shows available at awfradio.com.
It takes LIUNA to power North America with affordable energy. The men and women of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, have the skills needed to build and maintain oil, natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind projects that are shaping America's energy future. From new energy tech to retrofitted facilities, LIUNA members do it all. Find out what it takes to be powered by LIUNA at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.
This segment of the show is brought to you by the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees Division of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. For more information, please visit bmwe.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining, atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Heat and Frost Insulators Labor Management Cooperative Trust. Find out more at insulators.org/LMCT.
Union members need to be heard. Reliable and convenient union voting has never been more important than it is now. Make voting easy for your membership by working with Survey and Ballot Systems. SBS offers encrypted and monitored solutions that ensure your elections are accurate and accessible for every member through mail-in, online, and in-person voting. Visit SurveyandBallotSystems.com and take the next step in getting secure and auditable elections.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Federation of Professional and Technical Engineers. You can find more at ifpte.org.
America's Workforce is sponsored in part by Boyd Watterson Asset Management, LLC. Find out more about our investment solutions tailored to meet the needs of Taft-Hartley funds at boydwatterson.com.
America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the Ironworkers. You can find more at ironworkers.org.
Now, back to Ed Flash Ferens with America's Workforce.
And remember, you can check us out on at least five platforms. That includes Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Pandora. And when you get an opportunity, here's what you do. Sign up, receive our shows on a regular basis, and give us a rating. We always appreciate those five-star ratings, so please keep them coming. By the way, this next segment brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office. Blue Cross and Blue Shield companies formed out of a need to provide affordable health care to teachers, to loggers, and miners. And back in 1965, the Blues developed a National Labor Office to strengthen their commitment to organized labor. Well, today, Blue Cross and Blue Shield's National Labor Office remains focused on America's workers, advocating for affordable and equitable health care. partnering with strategic alliances to provide industry-leading products and services, and proudly serving more than 18 million unionized workers, retirees, and their families, all working hard for America's working families, for the health of America. Learn more by following them at Blue Labor on LinkedIn and X, formerly known as Twitter. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Mr. Bill Samuel, Government Affairs Director of the AFL-CIO. You mentioned you want to talk about retirement security. Boy, a lot of things have happened here with the Biden administration in the last couple of weeks. And obviously, if you don't have security in retirement, you're screwed. And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that don't have decent pensions. We saw the demise of defined benefit pensions many, many years ago when they switched to 401k. So fill me in. What happened here this week with retirement security, Bill?
Yeah, well, this is an area that most people don't think about, but when workers leave an employer and they're rolling over their pension maybe into an IRA from a 401k into an IRA or some personal plan, most people rely on the investment advice that they get from a financial firm. Those firms, until now, they don't have to act in the best interest of the client. Something called a fiduciary obligation. This rule that the Labor Department has put into effect with the Biden administration now requires that the advice you get be in the retiree's best interest. So it's not about how much money the investment advisor is going to make or the firm. It has to be in the best interest. It's a technical rule, but it will save retirees about $17 billion. That's how much is sucked out of your retirement pay and your retirement benefits when the advice you're getting is conflicted, meaning it may be good for the advisor and the firm, the investment company, may not be the best advice for you when you're starting your long journey, hopefully, in retirement. So that's what this rule requires, that the advice you get be in your best interest and not in the person's that is giving it to you. It's called a fiduciary rule. Again, for technical, we're talking $17 billion in retirement income.
Bill, that just doesn't sound right.
It doesn't. It's kind of amazing that it hasn't been the rule all along, but it's true. You talk to your advisor. They're now required to live up to certain standards and obligations that they didn't prior to this rule being put into effect.
So up until now, they didn't have to act in the best interest of you, the client. That's just amazing
that's
to
right.
me.
I mean, many of them did, you would hope, but it was not a legal requirement that they do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of these, especially like mutual funds, and they push these things, and obviously they push them to put them in somebody's portfolio because they get a bonus out of it. So they're
exactly.
going to say, yeah, exactly. I'm going to make a lot of money on this, and you know it should be okay for you as a client, but it may not be. So,
that's right.
Oh boy.
You got that
right. Okay, big ruling. This was about 2 weeks ago from the Department of Labor. And I know you worked with Rich Trumka in the miners union for a while. And this deals with silica dust. This, I can't believe this took like 50 years to get accomplished. Is that right?
A long time. You know, OSHA is a well-meaning agency, but there's a little bit of a pendulum when you've got Democrats running the OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. They get to work trying to protect workers, and then the Republicans take over. You know, everything gets swept under the rug, put aside, slowed down. So they've made progress over the years to ban silica and to protect workers from silica, which, of course, causes terrible lung disease and death, exposure to silica. But they finally, with the Biden administration really putting its shoulder to the wheel, got the rule finished. It's now permanent. It's now final. And hopefully it will save lots of lives. You know, there was a rule banning silica in general construction, and that was done, I guess, 3 years ago, but that took 20 years. So now in mining, it's also going to be the law that workers have to be protected from the exposure to silica, and it's going to save a lot of people's lives, a lot of suffering.
Now, is this another one that could be overturned in the courts? What's your thought?
Well, it could be challenged. I'm not sure OSHA, as you know, they take their time. They do these very carefully. I don't think this will be overturned in the court. It's very unlikely. Now, Congress could come in next year. Had they waited until after May, as I said, the Congress could then overturn it. But since this has become final now, and April, Congress can't without writing a new law, and they're not going to do that. So this should be permanent.
Our friend, and I say that facetiously, Virginia Fox, who chairs the Committee on Education and the Workforce for the Republican Party, is saying that this is going to be a detriment to the mining industry. I just thought I'd share that with you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Republicans, many of them have been saying for a century that rules to protect workers hurt business. Of course, the opposite is true. Preserving the life of your workforce is not only good for the business, it's good for the community, and it's the right thing to do. And I'm sorry that Virginia Fox can't see that.
Yeah, you think about how many people died in mines over the years. And calling attention to this is very important, especially this week. This is Workers' Memorial
Week. That's right, 5,000. Yeah. We're still losing over 5,000 workers to industrial accidents every year. It's appalling.
Yeah. By the way, is the AFL-CIO coming out? They do the what they call the Toll of Neglect, which is in commemoration of Workers' Memorial Week. Is that coming out soon?
It's coming out this weekend, the Death on the Jobs report, where we highlight the very sad fact that, as I said, in this year again, about slightly over 5,000 workers died in accidents on the job that could have been prevented. It's the rate's actually going up. You'll see that when the report is released. And it's particularly bad for immigrants because they're, you know, I think some employers see them as expendable. They're not providing the kind of safety training and equipment they need. That's all outlined in this report, which will be made public in a day or two.
Yeah, AFL-CIO.org. We referenced that a whole lot on the show. We're going to be talking tomorrow with one of the co-directors of National COSH, that's the National Council on Occupational Safety and Health. Today, they're releasing their Dirty Dozen unsafe employers, and they get a lot of PR on that. Okay, we got a couple of minutes left here, Mr. Samuel. This is, by the way, in case you're tuning in right now, listening to the show, this is the last day for Bill as Government Affairs Director, the AFL-CIO position he's had for 24 years. He's going to be retiring next week, but still acting as a consultant. So you might hear his voice down the road here on America's Workforce. And I hope so. I really, really, truly enjoy talking to you. You're so good on all these issues. But you know what? Let's just reflect back a little bit for the next couple of minutes and talk. Now, you were telling me before you joined the AFL-CIO, you worked in the White House. Anything you could share? Now, you worked for, what, Al Gore at the time? Is that right?
I did, actually. Well, I spent 10 years at the United Mine Workers working for Rich Trumka. And then in 96, this was midway into President Clinton's first term, or toward the end of his first term, I went to work for the Labor Department, left the mine workers, went to work for Robert Reich, who was the Labor Secretary. Heard of him. He's still around on the scene. And then I went to the White House a couple years later for the last year of the Clinton-Gore administration, worked for the vice president as his senior labor advisor, and probably would have stayed there had he been elected. Remember, he ran for president, Bush v. Gore. Uh-huh. He lost in the Supreme Court in 2001, and the day after he left the White House, I crossed Lafayette Square and went to work at the AFL-CIO as the government affairs director, and I've been there ever since.
And who was the president of the AFL-CIO back then?
John Sweeney was. Now, Rich Trumka, who I had worked for, as I said, at the UMW, was Secretary-Treasurer. So I wasn't a complete stranger. And I'd worked with President Sweeney when I was working at the Labor Department and the White House. We worked together quite a bit, and his staff. And so it was kind of seamless to go over to the AFL-CIO, and I've enjoyed it. It's been a privilege, and nothing better than representing America's workers.
What a great career, though. You work in the Miners Union with Rich Trumka. You go to the White House, and then you join the AFL-CIO and under three leaders, John Sweeney, Rich Trumka, and now Liz Schuller. Well, Bill Samuel, long way from Oberlin College. Man, I appreciate you for coming on the show here, AFL-CIO.org. You going to do any downtime here next week or the next
A little bit.
Ahead?
I'll take a little time off, but let me just say what an honor it's been to be invited on your show month after month for all these years, and what a great service you provide people in Ohio and across the country running this show and bringing these issues to light and having guests on who most networks probably don't want to hear from. So thank you very much. I owe you a lot.
Oh, man, that's great. Great compliment. Thank you so much. Bill, you take care. I'm sure we'll be hearing from you, okay, brother?
Take care and stay safe.
Thank you. Bye. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Dan Poteet is the business manager of Insulators 50 in Central Ohio. He's coming up next.
This is America's Workforce.
It takes LIUNA to keep America running. Over 70,000 public employees are part of LIUNA, the Laborers International Union of North America, delivering critical services such as health care and emergency response, as well as maintaining roads and sanitation systems. Even the National Postal Mail Handlers Union, representing over 47,000 U.S. postal workers, is affiliated with LIUNA. Find out what it takes for LIUNA to keep America running at LIUNA.org. That's LIUNA.org.
Hi, this is Liz Schuler, president of the AFL-CIO, and I am a huge fan of Flash and America's Workforce Radio and podcast.
We're the nurses, firefighters, and claims representatives that help keep our government services running. We respond to natural disasters. We care for our nation's veterans, and we investigate discrimination in the workplace. We are federal and D.C. government workers, and we are proud to serve the American people. Working in more than 78 agencies across the government, we know we can fulfill our mission because our union has our back. Learn more at afge.org. Paid for by the American Federation of Government Employees, AFL-CIO. America's Workforce is brought to you in part by the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, where you can find more at teamster.org.
There is unity and strength for workers.
We are the USW.
We are the USW.
The United Steelworkers.
The largest industrial union in North America.
We represent 850,000 members in the U.S., Canada, and the Caribbean.
We work in metals,
rubber,
chemicals,
paper,
oil refining,
atomic energy, and the service sector.
We are steelworkers, standing strong and fighting for what's right.
This portion of the show brought to you by the International Union of Bricklayers and Allied Craft Workers. For more information, please visit bacweb.org.
America's Workforce Radio is sponsored in part by the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades, District Council 6, representing painters, glazers, drywall finishers, and sign and display industry workers. They remind you that belonging to a union is your right as an American.
America's Workforce is presented by the Laborers International Union of North America. Feel the power right now at LIUNA.org.
Now, back to America's Workforce. Here's Ed Flash Ferens.
And remember, you can check us out on Facebook or follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That would be AWF Union Podcast. Let's go to Central Ohio right now and welcome a very busy guy. In fact, we've been trying to get him on the show a couple of times, but he's been tied up in negotiations, good negotiations. We'll find out in a few minutes here. Dan Poteet is his name. He's the business manager of Insulators Local 50, insulators50.com. We're talking more than 200 workers in Central Ohio, about three dozen counties, two of those counties in Indiana. Dan Poteet, how we doing here, man? Because you're a hard guy to pin down here. I understand you're working hard for your members. Maybe you could fill me in. I know negotiations are not easy. They never are. You're fighting for good things for your workers there. Where do we stand right now, brother?
I don't know how to say it, except we really anticipate this being a historic settlement. I don't see anything but good things. Everything's in our favor. Workload, the membership count's up. The way the brothers and sisters of the local are handling themselves give us some ease in negotiation.
Is there anything that you're at liberty to talk about right now? Or maybe, obviously, you have some goals in mind and a timetable. Is there anything you could share with us right now?
There's not a lot of particulars I can share right now. I will say that we anticipate a pretty substantial increase from first-year apprentice through journeyman. We would anticipate that we're able to increase our pension contributions, our annuity contributions. As far as having freedom to share it, not really. About the best I could say is everything looks very positive for the current members and the future members of our local.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to push you on that. I want to make sure it's all good, and I truly understand what you're talking about here. You don't want to jeopardize anything, but it sounds like everything is going in the right direction. Let's keep it going in the right direction. So let's switch gears here a little bit. And I know you're doing a recruitment drive here and with the cooperation of BMA Media, which is the producer of America's Workforce. And I know they're working hard. Can you fill us in on how we're doing in that right now?
Oh, it's been incredible. We've had more than 1,800 leads contact us through this marketing campaign we're doing with BMA Media. We've brought in Sarah Park with BMA, and I sat down the other day, and we've been able to secure 55 new people in just the last few months, and 55 good new people. Some of those have experience in mechanical insulation. Some of them are fresh to the trade. Some of them have other construction experience. I know the contractors are excited about seeing the growth in the apprenticeship. I know the members are excited. Of course, there's always growing pains. We're not a local that's accustomed to being as large as we are now, but I'm sure we will adjust, and I'm sure we'll enjoy it here soon.
Can you reflect on what the recruitment looks like? And I bring this up because in previous conversations, I know you're reaching out to women, people of color, kind of, you know, obviously the population here. And again, in those underserved communities, so we can find a pathway to the middle class. Can you share anything with us on this recruitment right now? What does it look like?
Local 50 is more diverse today than we've ever been. Our last union meeting, we swore in 11 new people, which is a huge group for us to swear in. And it's actually a beautiful thing if you want to know the truth. The fact that we're able to help people and offer them the same type of opportunities that used to just be for family members of the unions is incredible. Watching so many people's lives change for the better, bringing people in that have never had medical benefits, never had any type of retirement, and just hearing the excitement in their voices or their body language changing when they realize that they're going to get the same opportunities that I got when I was young. The recruitment and reaching out to these underserved communities, underrepresented communities has been incredible. And one of the ladies that we brought in a few years ago, Darla Reed, I think she was on your show maybe mm-hmm. 6-8 weeks ago.
Yeah.
She is now Local 50's first female officer. She was elected onto the JTC board. The opportunities for everyone, regardless of race or gender, is just wide open here in Local 50. It's a really beautiful thing to watch.
I like that. You're in the middle of it all. That's definitely great. Now, if we can reflect on the work, I know Central Ohio is on fire. And when I say that in a good way, I mean, you got the Intel project and all the other projects, especially when it comes to tech projects like Facebook and Amazon. And I'm just wondering, what's the outlook look right now for Local 50 when it comes to the insulators? I mean, all the trades are involved here, but what about Local 50?
The numbers they're projecting are just absolutely outrageous. We're accustomed to working 180, maybe 200 guys. We haven't had an out-of-work list in about 3 years. Right now we're working about 260 members. I would say by the end of this year we'll be working somewhere in the neighborhood of 320 people, both through growth of our local and through travelers. The work outlook itself, a lot of people are claiming the next 7 to 10 years should just continue to grow. That makes me nervous to try to predict out that far. But I am very comfortable in saying the next 5 to 7 years, without a doubt, we have a chance to go from a 220-man local to a 325, maybe even a 350-man local. And I shouldn't say man, I should say a 350-member local, because as we've already talked about, we're becoming a very diverse organization, and I don't want my wife to yell at me for excluding the women again.
I know she holds your feet to the fire, so that's a good thing. Yeah, previous
she sure
episode.
Does.
Dan caught some heat from his wife. That's what he's talking about here, but he's changing. I know you slipped up there, but you caught yourself, and that's all that matters.
Amen. That's right.
I love it. I love it. So we're looking at nearly like a 40 to 50% increase here. That's cool. You mentioned travelers. Why don't you explain that? Because obviously your jurisdiction, I mean, it goes across pretty much all of Ohio. Is that what you're talking about here? I mean, because of the work that's kind of scattered around?
Yeah, so we have work from Brookville, Ohio, which is on the western side of our jurisdiction. We have a D-Max or a Duramax facility for GM being built all the way through New Albany with the chip plant and Fayette County with the Honda battery plant. I talk to all the travelers. As long as their business managers send travel cards, you know, they come in. We're not really accustomed to having travelers. This is all new to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we're learning. We're enjoying it. I think right now we're working about 50 travelers. I could use another 30 travelers as of today. That's just going to continue to grow. I just this morning got another call for manpower for our battery plant. That'll end up having probably 120 members on it. I would guess that probably 40% of those insulators will be traveling members of our organization from all across the country. So the traveler program that we have is priceless. It's invaluable.
That's interesting. So you're getting people from all around the country because of the work in Central Ohio. They're coming to Local 50 then, right?
Yeah. We have people from California, Utah, Texas, Florida, Pittsburgh. All around the country. The workload here is just so incredible. And I guess that ties into negotiations a little bit. Because without a good negotiation this time, it absolutely affects the attractiveness of travelers coming here. The mechanical insulators are really fortunate right now because there's so much work across the country. We happen to be the hot spot, but if our wages don't reflect that hot spot, the travelers have choices to go other places, right? These negotiations are extremely important. For recruitment, retention, and the attraction of travelers.
Okay, Dan, one more question. I know you're busy and I know you're driving right now. When would you like to see these negotiations wrapped up? I'm sure you have a certain time in mind. Can you share that with us?
Sure. So what? Ideally, they would be wrapped up by June 13th so that me and my negotiating committee can bring a tentative agreement back to the body at our regular scheduled June 14th union meeting. Historically, there's enough, I won't say conflict, but enough disruption during negotiations that doesn't happen. Ideally, it would be the 14th. The contract expires on June 30th, so I would sure like to see it be done prior to that.
Okay.
I do want the members to keep in mind, I want them to vote for what they're worth and not what they're forced to take.
There you go. Well said, my man. You know what? I'm going to let you get on with your day, and maybe when this is all wrapped up, you and I can have a good conversation on that. Okay, brother?
That sounds great, brother. Thank you so much for your time. I hope you have a wonderful day.
You too. You take care. Stay safe. That was Dan Poteet, business manager of Insulators Local 50 in Central Ohio, insulators50.com. All right, that'll be it for another edition of America's Workforce. Coming up tomorrow, the Dirty Dozen Unsafe Employers, the Director of Safety for the Brotherhood of Maintenance of Way Employees, and the United Steelworkers. Until then, all of you have a safe and wonderful day.
That concludes another episode of the America's Workforce Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe so you never miss a show. America's Workforce is a production of Labor Tools and BMA Media Group. Find out more information online at labortools.com.